Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
God is doing what he said he would do in the last days. And he's gathering his people. And you are, by the way, his people. You get that, right? You are his people. He's gathering his people. I'm going to tell you something. The great news is not everybody's come yet. But we get the privilege of going after them. No, and you got to get that picture. We have the privilege of going after them. I want to talk with you about that too, within the nucleus of the promises of God. But I want to tell you this morning, God has an amazing plan for you. Because you're his people. He's chosen you. Do you realize God chose you? He chose you. He called you by name before you were ever in the womb. He called you into existence. You were not an accident. You were not an accident, no matter what mom and dad said. You were never an accident. You were never, you may have been an oops in their eyes, but not in God's eyes. Listen, do you know how many oops world leaders there are today? And have been down through the generations? Oops world leaders. Oops amazing people that have impacted down through the generations. You are not a God oops. You are a God choice. And he spoke your name into your mama's ear. Now, Dad, sometimes we're a little slow. We need a book of names. Moms feel the personality of that baby. They feel the essence of how that baby's connecting to her, even in the womb. How many times you ever see a mama going... I'm sitting there going, you're going to wear the fur off that child before it ever comes out, or you keep doing that. That mama's making a connection, a spiritual connection with that baby. Really, that mama's making a spiritual connection. That baby knows the voice of the mama. See, what God's doing in you right now, he's teaching you his voice. You're in the womb right now. You got 9 months that you're hanging in the womb. And he's preparing us for our birthday in his presence. Seriously, that's the comparison. We're being prepared for real life, life eternal. And when we get there, it will be such an amazing party. I know Pastor Mike and I will continuously be looking at each other going, we made it. Dude, we actually made it. Now, I won't be surprised he makes it, but he may be shocked if I make it. But I'm not sure. But I know this, we will have an amazing time. But we don't have to wait till then. Because the God of creation is in the house. And he's here to say something to you specifically today. Are you ready to get into that? Okay, then, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. I ask that you prepare us right now. Because we're going to get right into your word. Because you have something life transformational to say. And we're not going to belabor the point. But I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I said everybody. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I'm ready for transformation. I'm ready for my mind to be renewed. I'm ready to receive heaven's best today through your word. And today I declare all distraction null and void. Speak to me today, Spirit of the living God, with clarity, with boldness, with transformational power, in the name of Jesus. Send me out of here different than I came in. Now, if you meant that, give him a huge, huge hand. Come on. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. I believe. Come on in. Are you ready to get into God's word? Come on, I got an hour and a half message I got to get in within 2 hours. I got an hour and a half message I got to get it in within 2 hours. Come on. Have a seat. You listen fast. Speed it up. We got an hour and a half to get. Half of you not listening to me yet. Now you know how I feel at home. And I forgot my wallet. Do you ever have one of those odd days? Just a really odd day. I knew I started up, so my wallet's not, I'm driving and I don't have a wallet on me. And then I get here and I realize I got no button right here to do this with. So it's just, I'm waiting for the third thing to fall, whatever that is, you know, and I hope it has nothing to do with pants. That's all I'm saying. But would be my kind of thing to happen. So have you had a great week? Pastor Mike asked you this. Have you had a good week? Have you had a challenging week? How many know in the most challenging weeks you can also have the most amazing experience with God? Seriously. That you can actually have both happening at the same time. I've had a great week, and I've had one of the most challenging weeks I've had in a very long time because there's lots of decisions to make and things that are happening. And you know, and I'm just going to get into this as quickly as I can, but today I want to talk with you about the way we approach life. Our whole world view. I'm going to call it that because that's what they call it today. Years ago when, Bernie was, you know, like running MSD, they called it perspective. That was the word that was used, and I used it almost all of my life. Today, it's called people's world view. It's how they see the world from their point of view. And I want to talk with you about our worldview, the changing of the mind, and you can already see it's Romans chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there quickly. I just want to talk with you just a few minutes. You know, when we talk about the changing of the mind, oftentimes we think we're talking about from sin, from sinful, fleshly things to something that's of God and holy and righteous, and those things are true. That's a valid comparison. That's a valid from one to the other. But, you know, not all of my thoughts are evil. In fact, years ago when we started St. Charles River Church, I can tell you, I had a totally different worldview than I do today. And it's been developing down through the years. It really has. This is our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year this year. Through those years, my worldview has changed. And some of those years were some of the hardest years I've ever experienced. The launching years was some of the hardest work I've ever experienced. But those were exciting years where every person, when Richard and Janice Bean came down that hall at the school, Independence Elementary School, and I'm going, God, people will actually show up. You'll actually send someone. That is really cool. When the Edmondsons and the Pattons show up on that first day at the school or second day, well, she wants to argue one way or the other. I would say it was the first day because I can declare it to be what I want. I have a selective, it's my worldview. It's my worldview. It was the first Sunday. And there they come and I'm sitting and they used to go to the same church family. They were there together for years and years and years. And they're looking at each other like, what are you doing here? Well, we thought God might want us to do something. We're just looking for the heart of God for our family. There's this worldview for me that has changed down through the years. We've had some wonderful people come through St. Charles River Church in the 19 years that we've been here. Some amazing people come through and then go on out. And some were church planters. Some were mad at me. So might as well just be really transparent with you. Some didn't like decisions leadership made or, you know, we built this building. How many know every time you do something from a leadership's point of view, someone's not going to be in total agreement with the decisions you've made? Because they may not know. And this is a phrase Gina and I have learned. Here's my worldview. Pastor Bill has changed from, I have the right to know. Can I tell you seriously? I went from years ago, I have the right to know. I used to sit in the pew. I sat in the pew a lot longer than I've ever been teaching. How many know that? You guys, the Martins, remember, we sat in pews together at First Assembly. Well, I sat in the pew all my life. And we had this church membership idea that we have the right to know things. Transparency. And today, I'm sitting there going, I don't want to know any more than I have to know. I don't want to know, Lord. I don't need for somebody to come up. Have you heard what happened? Oh, God, if I don't need to know, please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. I don't need to know. And something else I've learned is when I serve under leadership, and every leader, good leader, should have some level of authority over him or her. Because we believe in accountability. We just do. So there's something I have learned. When leaders above me, see, my worldview is changing. When leaders above me make decisions that I go, you remember the old Victrola dog on the albums that would go, stick his head sideways? Like, I don't even know what I'm seeing. When I would do that, I have learned something. They know what I don't know. They're in a role to know what I don't know. And I'm glad they're in that role, and I'm not. That's a great thing. I actually don't have to know what they know. But there's a level of trust that God gives to me. I've always believed in that track record. Here's the thing you need to know. The perspective is, I believe all of our perspective changes through the years. God knows what we don't know. And he makes decisions based on things not only that we don't know, he knows things to come that we could never fathom. And so I have learned something. I am no longer a church pew member thinker. I'm no longer a church attender thinker. Well, when are we going to have this? And the pastor should deliver this. And hey, listen, I'm going to give you, do you know how many of you know I almost give you a mini business meeting about every third Sunday? An informational business meeting. I give you financial, I give you letters, which I haven't had to write for a while. But I give updates because I believe in transparency. But here's this perspective that's changing. It's not just things like that. Years ago, the perspective and worldview I had was actually more relevant then. And I've learned something. I have to continue to grow. Amen. To strive to be relevant to today. There's an entire new generation today that doesn't even have a clue why church is relevant to us or to them. They don't have a clue. And it isn't good enough to say, well, because God said so. Now, it is for me. That's good enough for me. But it's not good enough for the generation that's coming up. There's a perspective that we have to begin to allow God to cultivate in our minds. I just want to read this to you, just so you know. Go ahead and open up to Romans 12, and I want to talk to you. The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul writes this book. Paul writes this book, and he is talking for 11 chapters about the mercies of God. Get that. I mean, seriously, the mercies of God towards Israel, the mercies of God towards the people of God, the mercies of God towards the remnant, the mercies of God, the mercy. He's talking about the mercies of God for 11 chapters. And then when he gets to verse 12, I've taught you this in the past, but I want to take a different perspective today, a different approach. I've taught you this. 11 chapters, he's talking about the mercies of God. Paul, a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he's declaring all these things in there that give me the authority to write this book. And then he lands on chapter 12, verse 1. And he launches with a big word. Therefore. I mean, get the word. Now that I've established who I am and who God is in us and over us and in us and around us and through us and the judge of us and the judge of the nations. Now, therefore, I'm sitting here. If I'm reading this letter for the first time, I'm going, it's about to, my hair's going to start blowing. You know, I get the picture, the wind, this big fan's going to turn on and start blowing our hair. Therefore, he says, I urge you. Now, he's not just kind of giving a hint. This is a strong urge. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy that I've been writing to you about for 11 chapters, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do we know? We have heard this all of our lives, and yet I don't know that we really get this. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that could be a dull teaching, because we heard it in Sunday school. Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so don't drink, smoke, chew, and don't go with girls who do. We heard that kind of stuff in Sunday school. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, and it was so simple. It's the things you don't do. But you know, the body is more than just the stomach. It's more than just the blood vessels. The body contains the soul, the spirit of man. It contains the Holy Spirit that abides within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul is writing this because, and look how he says it. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, die to everything that's natural to you. Die to everything that's natural to you. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to say it as clearly as I can. We are the temple. We contain the essence of the Holy Spirit. And we are literally the mouthpiece. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we sit there in church or in church business meetings, I heard a pastor one time called Hitler. In a church business meeting, in a microphone. It wasn't a neighbor leaning over, you know, he kind of like Hitler. No, this person went to a microphone, stands in front of a church and says, well, you're nothing but a Hitler too. And I'm sitting there going, I mean, church history, how many know church history is full of racism? Thank you. Church history is full of racism. Our own organization, the Assemblies of God, 1904, some of the great revivals in the nation was on Azusa Street, led by a black pastor named Seymour. The greatest move of God in North America up to that date, a black pastor, an African-American pastor, is leading this. Thousands of people come to Christ, and when the revival, they're worshiping together. They're experiencing God together. You would think the worldview would have changed at that point. But it doesn't. When it ends, they say to the black community, oh, you'll need to form your own organization. We're going to form. And they formed several organizations. One was the Assemblies of God. That's who I'm ordained through. There's a perspective that should change when we are being conformed, when we are literally presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. How did we miss the dying to racism at that time? And yet racism, oh, it dates back further than that. Peter wouldn't go to Cornelius's house because he was not a Jew. He was not a Jew. And yet the Holy Spirit says, don't you dare call anything unclean that I've made clean. There's this perspective change. Our bodies are living sacrifices, or should be. And everything about our lives, people should look at and say, now, I want you to know, get the difference here. Instead of them saying, you know, Mike, I don't think you've ever cussed you. I've never heard you cuss. I never saw you smoke. How about they said, you're one of the most kind men I've ever met. You know, Mike, when I'm with you, you just really inspire me. There's something about you. Don't know what it is, but there's something about you that I want to be more like you. And that's the, you know, we always get the picture when I was growing up. I don't know about you, in the Baptist churches, I think they got it a little bit too. It's what you did not do. I didn't bowl. Oh, you guys don't remember those days? I didn't bowl. Janice, you and Richard probably don't remember that whole side of it. I didn't have long hair or beard or mustache. You know, that was our living sacrifice. We didn't wear long hair. We didn't, because we were not going to be rebellious. Remember that, Ken, in the 60s? No, you don't remember that? You remember the 60s, though, don't you? Yeah, I was going to say, don't you dare say you didn't remember the 60s. Yeah, this is the thing. See, we thought that the living sacrifice when I was being raised, Jerry talked a little bit about what Pentecostalism was when he was growing up. Somebody spoke in tongues. Somebody gave an interpretation. That was the idea of what Pentecostalism is. You haven't read the Bible. The Bible, Pentecostalism is about people. Reaching people. It's the field of the harvest. It's the harvest that this spirit-filled life is about, is reaching people, loving people, being a living sacrifice, and being so important and impactful in other people's lives. Like Jerry taught, Pastor Jerry spoke last week. It's an amazing idea. Instead of all the things I don't do, the living sacrifice is a life of servanthood. It's a, how can I serve you where you are today? You're hurting. How can my wife and I, how can our family, how can we make a difference? We'll set our stuff aside. How can we step into your life and actually impact you? And I can tell you, I've seen it many years. For 19 years, I've seen it happen in this church. But some of the greatest things I've ever seen was out on a mission field in a foreign land where people said, I'll not only will I go there, I'll pay my own way to go there. And I'll pay $1,700 to go feed a child. I'll pay $1,700 to go color with a child. Do you know how important that is to go and color with a child somewhere around the world? Different color than they are, and they're looking at you like, you want to color with me? It's the Corneliuses of this world. It's somebody that is, it's out of our culture. It's out of our, it's something that we can even relate to. Gina was talking about when she and Sherry were on the missions trip this last time. They were coloring with these children and they were speaking Spanish to Gina and they were telling her all the things she was doing wrong. She needed to color in the lines and do this and do that and all this. And they didn't understand a word each other said, but communication was beautiful. Because Gina had paid her way. Yeah, the pastor's wife actually does that. Paid her way to go to Panama to color with children and at the same time fill prescriptions in the pharmacy. And then we went to lunch with Nivenka that got saved here years ago, went to Lindenwood. Then we went to lunch with her and her husband and their baby Camille, and she's sitting there next to Grandma Gina, and she's giving her value, and Camille is telling her, she was going to sit by me. Camille's like, no. This, you know, you can speak to people. It's called charades. Six, how old is she? Four-year-old. A key. So she makes Gina sit next to her. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but it's value. It's a living sacrifice that God calls us to. A living sacrifice. And it's called a mission. It's called a mission. How many of you know that this girl right here went to the Middle East for years in the United States military? Rebecca. And she poured her life into the women there in this country. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it. But she pours her life into this country with the United States military uniform on, and all of a sudden it became bigger than a commission from an officer. All of a sudden it's become a life mission. About praying for these ladies and speaking value into these ladies and continuously pouring. She's literally making her body a living sacrifice. I live for something bigger than myself, and I set aside the things that everybody else thinks I ought to have. And I set those things aside and I press on towards the mark of His high calling. It's a mission and I can't not do it. I can't not do it. It has nothing to do with the little things you don't do. If we haven't got past that, that's kindergarten Christianity. That's milk. That's milk. If we still haven't figured out we shouldn't be known as liars, cheaters, stealers, adulterers, if we don't figure that out yet, that's baby stuff. No, it's not just the enemy wants us to stay right there, all the don't doers. You just stay right there. That's where the enemy wants you, is to be a don't doer. Well, I don't do those things. Oh, the enemy's applauding you. Heaven applauds us when we reach into people's lives and we start giving value to women across the world who have nothing to give back. That's a mission. That's a commission from on high. Now that's a living sacrifice. And I want to go on. Brothers, I urge you in the view of God's mercy to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. How many know? I won't keep going, but how many know it is not pleasing to God for us to be not doers? I'm going to sit right here. I won't do anything wrong. No risk. I'll close my eyes so I don't, lust. No, the word says pleasing to God. It's about going, I'm sorry if I'm just too stinking raw. I'm sorry. I mean, to some of you, it's going, that guy's pathetic. That guy's just pathetic. It's just, no, I've seen people paralyzed in the don't do's. And I seen them brag. Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith so that no one can boast. It's not about what I do or don't do. It's not that. But I will tell you, when we're saved by grace through faith, we will do. We will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me read that one to you. Here we go. Do not conform any longer. Why does he say it that way? Because they were. This is Rome we're talking about here. This is Rome. Anybody remember the history of Rome? Rome fell. Rome fell, you know, fast and hard. It had a reputation. Sinful. Idolatrous. Reputation. And he says, do not conform any longer. Why? Do you remember when I taught this about 2 years ago in the first of the year? I think it was around 17 or 18. First of the year. Listen, the truth is this stuff was getting into the church. And they were writing, when Paul writes these kind of letters, he's writing this kind of letter because this stuff was going on and they're wanting to know, the church there wants to know, what do we do? How do we handle it? And he says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world any longer. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know, years ago, I mean, my perspective has changed so much. Not all the thoughts that I had in 2000 when we launched this church were wrong. Surprising. It is surprising. I mean, you have a hairstylist as your pastor. And I thought I knew what I was doing. I can write a book now on how not to do things. I do know how to write a book on how not to do things. I could really write a good book. I can at least help you avoid some pitfalls. And I'm not even being humble about it. I'm being as transparent and honest with you as I can. I said it to you about 5 years into this church. If y'all ever figure out you have a hairstylist for a pastor, you would leave. Paul was a tent maker. God uses him to write half the New Testament. It's not about qualifications. It's about him qualifying you in the fire. In the fire. In the fire. He refines us in the fire. Listen to this. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? How do you get your mind renewed? Is it all the junk? All the junk? Yeah, that's in there. But years ago, there was stuff, approaches that I used to take in ministry. There was stuff. I was busy doing things and this is what I think I need to be spending my time doing. I think the next season I'll be doing this. So I got to raise up people to do that. And today, can I tell you, I just started reading his word, not just today, but I've been reading his word now for 19 years, a whole lot more than I've ever read his word. Now, can I tell you what he does? He makes a lot of promises. Be still. And know that I'm God. Can I really use the one word that I'm not allowed to use in church? Shut up. Forgive me, moms. Just close your mouth. Close your mouth. I'm God. I'll show you when it's time for me to show you. And don't forget, I know what you don't know. And you'll never know what I know. And you just have to do what I say to do, even though you don't know what I know. Because I am God. That last breath you took, I just gave it to you. I mean, get that one. He can take it anytime he wants. Your last breath can be your last breath anytime God decides. He's in charge. When Rick pulls me over, Rick has never pulled me over, by the way. Fine police officer of O'Fallon. When a police officer of O'Fallon or anywhere pulls me over, he's in charge or she's in charge. How many get that? We can't be doing this. You can't talk to me that way. Don't say that to a police officer. Don't ever say that to a police officer. God's in charge. The renewing of my mind. Listen, I want to talk to you really quick about that part. The renewing of my mind doesn't mean all those old ideas were bad. It might mean those were relevant. Today, we need a fresh touch of God, a fresh revelation of who He is, a fresh anointing of the Spirit of the living God speaking relevant things into me today. 20 years ago, I never had the opportunity. It's going to shock you. Please don't just storm out of here. It's going to shock you. Gina and I never had opportunities before to go out with homosexual couples and spend time investing in them and loving on them. But God's given us some people that we could speak into and actually bring the gospel into that would have said to us, you never would allow us to come to your church. We had a lesbian couple. I believe in being real. Maybe that's why there's a lot of blue seats. I don't know. Lesbian couple started several years ago, back on that back row. The little Hispanic girl had three children. The other young lady had no children, but they were together. About a year and a half into it, they moved up to these rows. They stayed. They kept listening to the gospel. They kept listening to the gospel. They kept listening to the fact that God wants. If I use this phrase once, I used it hundreds of times. God loves you just the way you are. He just doesn't want you to stay that way. God loves me just the way I am. He just doesn't want me to stay that way. He wants me to be more like Him. We've never hidden the truth, guys. We don't hide the truth. We just speak the truth in love. And then within 2 years, a little longer, they're right here. They're right here. They were with us a total, a little over 3 years, right here. Sitting right there. Sometimes the kids would be on the seats with them, or sometimes they'd be in kids' church. One Sunday they called me up and they said, now I don't know that I've ever told you this story, but one Sunday they called me after church and they said, we need to meet with you in the cafe after church. And I went back there and I met those two young ladies and they looked at me, big tears pouring down their eyes. I never said a word to them. I didn't have to. The Spirit of the living God does. Through His Word. The renewing of the mind, how many know, comes through the Word. The teaching of the Word. How are they going to know unless they hear? How are they going to know unless they hear? How are they going to know unless they have someone who loves them enough to help them hear? You understand? It's a renewing of the mind. Years ago, we would have said, stay away, stay away, stay away. Why? Are you afraid you're going to get it? Now, listen, if you're in here today under the authority of your parents, follow your parents' instruction. Okay, so I'm talking to adults here that are above age, that can make decisions for themselves. Follow your parents' instruction. It'll always be the right thing. They called me to the back of that cafe and they said, we just want to share this with you. We've been here for over 3 years and you never once judged us. You and Gina and the people in this church, especially the ladies, always loved us. And we got to hear about Jesus Christ for the first time. One young lady said, I was raised in church, but they always condemned everybody that they didn't like. That's how she said it. She said, but we gave our lives to Jesus Christ on a Sunday morning here, and we want you to know that we're breaking up with each other. I'm moving back to San Antonio, Texas, and I'm taking my children with me. We're moving back to my parents' home, and we're going to start over living for Jesus Christ. And the other young lady stayed here. You see, I never would have been open to that 20 years ago. I would never have been open to that 25 years ago. But the renewing of my mind, I look at God's promises. God's promises are good for every person. Every person, if you're breathing today, the promises of God are for you. And I want them to know what the promises of God are. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never turn my back on you. Not ever. Those are promises that He makes with us. I'll go before you and I will make your path straight. It's a picture of Him going before us with a machete and just cutting the stuff out of our way. There are words you could use to describe it, but there are that stuff that's in our way that would slow us down or make us go around the long way. God says, no, just hang behind me. I will go before you and I will make your path straight because I will clear it out. Man, we're sitting there going, I don't know when God's going to let me move. I just don't know. Do you know the promise of God? The renewing of the mind comes through knowing the Word of God, knowing Him. When you read this, you're reading Him. Amen. Why do you think girls never wanted you to read their diaries? Because the most intimate thoughts and vulnerable moments and things that stuff's in there. This is the essence of who that young lady was. Guys, and the reason we don't write diaries, we don't have deep thoughts. Ooh, I like that girl. Ooh, she sure is pretty. You want to go out? I mean, that's our thought process. Ooh, she sure is pretty. Oh, I like that girl. You want to go out? Instead of, hi, what's your name? It's just, guys, we're not there yet. We just, hopefully one day we will be there. But the renewing of our mind is an amazing thing. Can I tell you how God got me this week? God got me this week. Because I've been asking God, don't ask God for what you don't want. Seriously, when we started St. Charles River Church, I said, Lord, I don't want there to be one day. You're going to laugh at me when you hear this prayer, but this is the truth. I said, Lord, I don't want one day to have been lived that it didn't take amazing faith. Don't ever ask God that. God, I actually did say that. Lord, I want people to be able to say, here's the truth. I wanted people to be able to say, wow, now that took God. Now, that's a right prayer, but there's a lot that goes with that. There's a lot that's packed inside of that. When you're saying, God, I don't want one day to have been something I could have accomplished on my own. I'm going to tell you, these days I'd give anything for just one day of something satisfying. You know what I mean? Just one day. But that's still the right prayer. So I'm laying in bed the other night, and Gina's getting ready to crawl in, and I'm half dead laying there, kind of starry-eyed, just looking at the sky, And Gina's turned the light off, and she hears me say, so many, Lord. Why so many? Can I just be really transparent with you guys? Please don't. I'm not depressed. Please don't think I'm depressed. He's promised me some things. I got a guarantee, and it's in writing, and it's in blood. I got guarantee from the Creator. So I'm not depressed. But listen to this. I was laying there, because you know, if you're a pastor, if you have any sense of what a pastor might go through, falling in love with people, like Gina and I do, and we do, we fall hard. There's a phrase that Darrell uses about our grandson when he was a baby, because he would cry so hard when we would leave. He says, he sure loves hard. He loves hard. And I'm going to tell you what, there's down through the years, there's been people that came into St. Charles River Church and got so stinking into our hearts. I mean, so deep in our hearts. And we were just loving it. And all of a sudden, you know, 6, 8 years later, 10 years later, they're gone. And I'm going to be totally transparent with you. That hurts. I don't sit there and think, Lord, I'm mad at them. We did that. And Lord, those five things, you know, I don't think like that. What I think is, Lord, God, that's them. I thought we had this heart thing going here. I thought we had this heart thing going. Honest to God, I actually buy into this foolish notion that we're family. God, now I'm not talking about people that were transferred out or people that had to move because of jobs or people that, or God sends them out into ministry. Man, I'm the one that's crying. Don't get me wrong. I'm crying, but I'm doing this as they're going out because heaven is applauding them because they're going to impact. So don't you misunderstand me. You're a church planter. I'm sitting there going, ooh, you know, but it's okay. But I'm the one bawling, but I'm the one cheering the loudest too. But I laid there and the phrase came out of my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I said, Lord, why so many? He got me. He said, you're focusing on the wrong so many. I've got them. There are so many I'm going to send you to reach. And you're going to bring them in. I was focused on the wrong so many. I needed a renewal of my mind. Because, see, I thought, well, because I feel that way, that's an expression of my deep love for those families that God has taken away from here for whatever reason. I'm not going to judge it. But for whatever reason it is, through the years, he gave me this. I've got them. We've never lost them. But those, there are so many who I'm sending you to reach. Get your eye on them. Leave this alone. They're safe with me. I love them. And by the way, Barry, boy, I felt this rebuke. I actually love them more than you. I said, don't ask God for something sometimes. I mean, I'm sitting there going, God, renew my mind. Well, I love them more than you do. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry. I thought it was okay that I loved them that much. It is, but that's, you think you love them more than me? You think they're in better hair? How's transparency for you? You think they're in better hands with you than me? There are those, so many, that need your time, your attention, your love. They need the message. They need their minds renewed. They don't even know me. So many yet to reach. Lord, renew my mind. This is what he says. So that we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you know if we know his promises, when something comes our way, if we know his promises and we know his word, we'll be able to look at that and say, that's not of God. Oh, that is God. No, that is God. And it's really bearing witness with something inside of me. That's who I want to be about. That's what I want to be. And God is saying, yeah, so I see that that is the pleasing will of God or the perfect will of God for my life. I'll actually, instead of sitting there going, I don't know what to do. We get frozen when we don't know him. You know what I have learned after 37 years? I can actually celebrate Valentine's Day a lot better these days. Because I know her well. I'm going to close here in just a second. I know her well. I know how to celebrate Valentine's Day. I know what she does like, and I know what she doesn't like. I know what gifts are just nothing to her. I know words of affirmation are everything. How many know the love languages? How many read the love languages? If you didn't read it, you need to read it. There's love languages for adults. There's love languages for teenagers and for children. If you have not read it, I don't care how old it was. It was Dr. David Chapman, right? I don't care how old it is. It is authentically, powerfully revolutionary. We need to have a transformation of our mind. How many understand what we're talking about this morning? It's a new thought. God, and by the way, doesn't he say he puts a new song in my heart every day? What if I'm still singing? Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The first thing, move away from there, said California. I mean, you'd be looking at me going, it's the Beverly Hillbillies. Wouldn't you be looking at me saying, Janice is looking at me like, what's that got to do with Jesus? But no, wouldn't you be sitting there going, couldn't you come a little more current? God says, I want to put a new song in your heart. One no author has ever written before. It's born in your spirit, and no author has ever written it before. I want to put something new inside of you, and it'll come straight from me. And when we know his promises, we'll be sitting there going, that is from God. Now that is from God. I know this. The enemy didn't try and rebuke me the other night. The enemy wasn't the one to... How do I know? Because I've lived with her for 37 years, married, thank God, and I know her voice. So when she picks that phone up and calls me, hi, hon, what are you doing? I don't have to say... Do you know what would happen if I said, who is this? Think about that. Think about that. The intimacy that's been built... Through the years, I know exactly who her voice is. When you have your mind renewed regularly, I'm talking about every day. I'm talking about every day. I'm talking about every day. When you get into the Word and your mind is renewed every day, and you know that intimate voice of God, you know his promises, you know his promises. When the enemy comes along and says, you won't be able to do that because this group says no. You can sit there and go, no, that's not the voice of God. That is not God's voice. I know no does not come from God. God's the one who said go. You get the picture. It's a renewing of our mind. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing, buddy? Love you. Just caught you back there. It's a renewing of our mind. But it comes through intimacy with him every day. Every day. Oh, man, I know your voice, God. Yeah. Oh, I didn't like what you just said. I know that's you. I know you love him more than me. I know you love him more. I get it. Quit being so arrogant about my love for these people. I get it. Focus on the new. So many. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you that you will so awaken us to a new worldview, to a changing of our minds, where it stops being such a religious mindset and it starts being a passionate mindset for Jesus Christ, passionate mindset for people, reaching people, reaching the new, going out after the so many that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are blue chairs in this room that need to be filled because there are so many that need to know you, and we know them. That's the amazing part. We actually know them. We have warm and hot connections with people around in our community. Father, and it's not just about building SCRC. It's about building this great kingdom. This kingdom, let the churches in St. Charles and St. Louis come alive with a new mindset and a new revelation and a revolutionary change for the harvest, for the cause of Christ, in the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Pastor Mike, you're going to come up. Are you all catching it? Y'all catch it. Give him a better hand. Come on. This isn't about my message. This is about the messenger. Okay?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.